When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 17.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to The Dark Paranormal, Season 17, Episode 2. And a huge thank you to everyone who reached out following Episode 1. Now, what many people don't know who are not patrons is that spooky, weird feeling I had recording kind of followed me into that week's Patreon episode where we covered the submitter's sister's version of events. And there were a few strange things in terms of trying to record. For example, the recording software I use, which has never gone wrong before, distorted my voice 12 times in a 30-minute show. And there was also a light switch that seemed to turn itself off during the recording. Now, I say this because I want to talk about state of mind, in terms of I knew I was about to head into a tale that had already given me the heebie-jeebies. So I do wonder whether my state of mind may have seen these things in a more paranormal sense than they were worth. But because of my state of mind, I placed them in a paranormal area. And maybe that was wrong. Maybe it was complete coincidence. And this is kind of my point when we reference people who get in touch to say that they've had strange occurrences whilst listening to the show. I do believe that your state of mind will play a huge part in what you believe is paranormal or not. That said, I was exceptionally happy to finish that episode, especially as I was recording at night. Not only at night, but I began recording whilst it was still light, so I didn't turn a light on. And by the time these events were taking place, the only light in the room was coming from either the laptop or from the light in the hall, which subsequently turned itself off mid-recording. But in hindsight, my mindset was exceptionally interesting because I live here alone. Therefore, albeit I am a paranormal believer, I am strongly siding with the rational, logical explanation side, because the alternative is far too terrifying to consider. Let's just say it's been one hell of a terrifying week for the start of Season 17. And let's hope that continues with Episode 2. Speaking of Dark Bite and our Patreons, it's genuinely not just hyperbole when I say that I think we've built one of the most wonderful, respectful communities about the paranormal on our Patreon. When you decide to join our Patreon, not only will you receive everything on this feed, both ad-free and before everyone else, but you can also gain exclusive access to our Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites, which is released each and every Sunday of the year, even on the downtime between seasons, meaning you don't miss your paranormal fix. Not only that, but you also gain access to the entire back catalogue of well over 50 hours worth of Dark Bites episodes to binge. But genuinely and sincerely, I mentioned it earlier, the best thing about our Patreon team is the community itself. I've been a member of many social media paranormal groups, and I can honestly say it's a privilege to be part of that community. So, both I and our community would like to extend an exclusive invitation just for you. Simply head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Just like the following wonderful new team members have. And don't forget, because we're in the early phase of a season, we have a lot of names to get through, so if you don't hear yours today, you will at some point in the next few episodes. But for now, a huge thank you and welcome to Rebecca, David Zabos, Kezan Dave, Pedro Alvarado Sali, Sam Reese, Danielle Chapman, Jake Bonshire, Renegade Wraith, Timothy Bryant, Melissa Rodriguez, Jeannie, Melissa F. Davis, Elizabeth Danaso, Miss Elizabeth Fisher, Faith Louise, Donovan Murray, Rin, Tracy Hill, Danimal Fantastic, Kevin Smith, Courtney Manus, Annabelle Lee, Armani Rector, Victoria, Evan Hills, Lizu, Trigesitops, and Miranda Forrest. So thank you so much, guys. Your support genuinely means the world to me. And if you like the sound of what we've mentioned, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, it's time to lower those lights. Make yourself comfortable and, of course, most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door as we hear all about a dark, faceless terror. I want to start off by saying I'm a terrible explainer, but I still want to share what happened to me. I'd also like to not mention any names, including my own. So I guess for this story, I'll be Jane. Jane Doe. Let me start from the beginning. I used to live in a small house in a big city in Texas. I was very young when we finally moved out, but there are some things that have stuck with me. I know it seems strange to talk about things from such a young age, and you'd be forgiven for thinking it was an overactive imagination, because I was so young. But I should state, I have a very good memory. I always have. And these things really did a number on me. In this house, there were two places I was always scared of, and there was always a dark, chilling presence there. The attic and my parents' room. Though I'd never been up in that attic, every time my parents opened it up, it was like something shifted. Like if something or someone was guarding it, looking down angrily. It might seem funny now, but I would run into the bathroom and hide behind the toilet. Each time this happened, I swore I would see someone, or I guess you could say a shadow, walk by. And it never failed. My parents' room was another thing altogether. I remember it was always so cold in there. The whole house could be warm, but the second you walked in that room, the coldness would hit you. And it was always accompanied with an eerie feeling as if someone was just stood there watching you. Since I was still young, I slept with my parents, and I dreaded nighttime coming because the room seemed to get more sinister at night. Their room was the master's room, meaning they had their own restroom, and I swore every night I would see a man stood there watching us, or to be more specific, watching me from the doorway. And I would cover myself up with my covers, and no matter how hard it was to breathe, I would refuse to come back up. If my mum got up to use the restroom, I would go with her, because I would not be left alone for a second in the dark, knowing he was there. You may well think, well, what about your dad? From time to time, my dad would go to sleep on the couch to give us more space. And because my parents, at this point, were not doing so good relationship-wise. Eventually, we moved and went to my grandparents' house. And we stayed there for a bit, and everything that I felt was different. It was nothing like the old house. It felt nice. Until we finally moved out and into what would be my childhood home. This house had three rooms, the master room and two little rooms. I've two older siblings, one sister, one brother. And since my brother was the only boy, he got his own room, and me and my sister ended up sharing a room with two different twin-size beds that were against the opposite side of each wall. The first 2 years of living there, nothing substantial really happened. But from time to time, I'd still get that strange feeling of being watched. And no matter where you went in that house, that lingering feeling of you're not alone was there. One day, after school, when we came home, my sister and I no longer had separate beds, just one big bed. And this might seem like, okay, and? But this is when things started. You see, I'm 3 years younger than my sister, and I still needed a nightlight to sleep, but my sister hated this. But it was plugged into the side of the wall I slept on, so she shouldn't really see it. That night was the first night I saw him again. A tall black shadow man who just stared at me. He didn't have a face, but I knew he was staring at me. Just remembering this again is giving me chills down my body. Crazy. Crazy how you can still sense something from so long ago. But once again, I spent the night under my covers. When I did this, I felt him hovering right next to the bed. I don't know how I knew, but I just knew he was there. He was stood in that doorway every night after that first night, never moving and always in the same spot. Eventually, somehow, I got used to this, and I stopped hiding under the covers. But then, the nightlight bulb started burning out and turning black. This would happen every 2 weeks, and my dad began to get annoyed because he thought I wasn't turning it off before I went to school, and this is why it kept burning out. I swore to him I was turning it off, but he didn't want to hear it. My parents started saying how I didn't need a nightlight anymore, but I refused, and I cried when they said they were going to take it away, because I was terrified of the dark. Because that meant I wouldn't be able to see him anymore. If everything was dark, that meant he could move around freely. But one night, I woke up randomly, and what I saw was a hand going over the nightlight and turning off the switch. I thought this was my dad, because he would do it from time to time. But I always heard him. This time I didn't hear him. So the following morning, I asked if he turned it off just out of curiosity. And he told me no. So I asked my brother, because it was a man's hand. He said, "Why would I turn it off?" And I know it wasn't my sister because she was sleeping right next to me in my room. And my mum would always lock herself in her room. To this day, I think about that night and I wonder who or what that thing was that turned off the light. The next experience I want to reminisce about is one that always lingers in the back of my mind. One day, my cousins came over to hang out, because they lived across the street. Our parents had gone somewhere, I can't remember where exactly, but we were all eating and me and my sister decided to tell our cousins the story behind our house, which I guess I'll now be telling all of you. The previous people who used to live there were a couple, and when the guy was sleeping, the wife shot him in the head. This freaked out one of my cousins, but our older cousins said out loud that we were lying, and this didn't happen. This caused a huge argument, because why would me and my sister lie? There was nothing to gain out of it. But eventually, we went to my mum's room to put on a movie and just wait for my cousin's mum to return. But as we were starting the movie, the biggest thud happened. We were all terrified, and me and my cousin hid under the covers whilst my sister and elder cousin went to check what that noise was. They both come running back into the room and slam the door. They told us to hide. At this point, me and my cousin were freaking out, wondering why they'd came back like this. A few moments passed, and we all walked out of my mum's room. I was terrified, but my sister told me to follow her, so I did. I mean, she's my older sister. We went to the kitchen and went to a window, and on the bottom of it, there was a little bit of wall where there was the biggest hole. I asked what happened, and my sister and cousin said they didn't know. But when they saw it at first, they had a terrible gut feeling, and that's why they came running back. The four of us stood there staring at this hole in the wall. It's just appeared. I noticed it kind of looked like someone had kicked it in. So I placed my foot in the hole, and it really started to look like that's what happened. Then our parents showed up, and they saw the hole, and boy, was my mum and dad angry. We tried to tell them how it wasn't us. We were all in the room and we heard this loud noise, and then a hole appeared. But they just thought we were trying to cover something up with a lie. My dad, one weekend, covered up the hole with some duct tape, then painted it brown to match the wall. Every time I walked past it, I just remembered that day. And how strange it was that just after my cousin accused us of lying about the gunshot and the murder, that happened. As the years went by, things started to happen more and more. Or I guess they stayed the same in a way. The feeling of being watched stayed. The man in the door stayed. But things started going missing. And mimics, I guess, you could say, started happening. Lights began turning off and on, and my door began opening randomly. Cabinets were being opened when I knew I'd closed them. In our bathroom, there was a tub, and every time I took a shower, and only when I took a shower, I would hear the sound of the shampoo bottle being opened. And I remember being scared of this at first. I can't tell you why, but something about it was so unsettling. There was also the feeling that there was someone stood outside that tub, just staring, waiting for you to come out. Every time, no matter what time of day it was, the same sound of the shampoo bottle, followed by the eerie feeling of someone just being there. When it comes to lights being turned off and on and doors opening, well, at this point, when this started, it wasn't subtle anymore, where it would only happen to just me or my sister. It was now when everyone was home and awake. One evening, my sister had just gotten out of the shower, and she asked me to brush and braid her hair. She was sitting on the floor, and I was on the bed. Mind you, we're both facing away from the door, so our backs are facing the door. And suddenly, the lights turned off as we were mid-conversation. I turned around and yelled out loud to my brother, "Quit it!" But he didn't reply. So I got up and went to his room, which was just across from ours, not even 4 feet from each other really, and I told him to stop playing pranks, asking why he turned our lights out. Well, he looked at me like I was mad and asked what I was going on about. When I returned to our room, my sister asked what my brother had said, and I told her. And we looked at each other because we both knew there was no possible way he could have turned those lights out. Firstly, his door was very squeaky, so we would have heard it twice, which we didn't. Also, there were no footsteps at all. Today's show is brought to you by Grundy's MD MCT Wellness. And what MCTs, I hear you say? Well, an MCT is a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, it turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down excess fat in your body. And if people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Well, Dr. Grundy, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. So by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch, one that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out the excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate that caloric bypass at home. And it's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is specifically designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy it, and what's more, it tastes incredible. So you get to enjoy a delicious drink and then watch as you start to feel slimmer and more energized. So if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GrundyMD.com/darkparanormal and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular priced order, plus a 90-day money-back guarantee. So once more, that's GrundyMD.com/darkparanormal. Now let's have a quick break to talk to you about Policy Genius. It's September. It's back to school for many people. You start thinking of the year ahead. Will you get those work projects finished by the end of the year? And speaking of the end of the year, you have Thanksgiving, the holidays, they're all going to be upon us soon. Your brain is a whirlwind of plans, as it should be, because we're designed to survive by planning, but we don't plan that much when it comes to the end, i.e. when we're gone. It took me till last year to get life insurance for myself. And that's because life insurance felt a bit daunting, but Policy Genius makes this process a breeze. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. With Policy Genius's technology, you can compare quotes from America's top insurers in a few clicks and find your lowest price. And if you ever need help or guidance, they have an expert licensed support team to answer your questions, handle the paperwork, and advocate for you throughout the whole process. Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace for a reason. They don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, and their advice is unbiased. Everything else aside, the peace of mind you get from knowing your loved one's expenses are covered if anything happens to you is priceless. It's never too late to plan ahead, so head over to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see just how much you could save. That's policygenius.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The next morning was a Saturday, and we always slept in. I had heard our door opening, and I saw it slowly as it did. I thought maybe my dad was checking on us. So I got up, and I went to the kitchen, but my dad was on an air mattress sleeping. I went to go and check if it was maybe my brother, but his door was completely shut. And like I said before, we would have heard the squeaking from his door. The next person would be my mum. But like my brother's door, it was shut and of course locked. And if it was her, I would have seen her walking from my door to hers. As I realised there was no culprit, I became scared. So I jumped back into bed. Not closing the door behind me, I just jumped under the covers. That's until someone else woke up. And this happened every Saturday for 2 months. It got to the point where I would just get up and open the door because I knew it was going to mysteriously open. After these things constantly happened, I started to get annoyed instead of scared. Things would go missing, and I would turn my whole room up just for moments afterwards that item that I was looking for to be right there in my sight. This would happen to me all the time. One day, and we're all running late, and my mother still has to drop me and my elder siblings off at three different schools. and she's looking for her glasses. My siblings are already in the car, and I was trying to help my mum find the glasses. I checked her bed, under her bed, her nightstands, the closets. I went to the kitchen and just started checking weird random places like the trash and under the sink. And then, out of nowhere, "Put them back! I swear if you don't put them back right now, this is not your home! Get the fuck out of my house!" It was my mum. I ran back to her room so fast, and there the glasses were, on her bed. Right in the middle of her bed, where we'd both checked before. She looked at me and said, "Right, those weren't there." And that fear I used to have came right back. A chill went down my spine, and my mum said, "Let's go." And she hurried me out of the house. Mum told me not to say anything, so I didn't. I kept it to myself, even though I was so curious as to why my mum reacted like that. Why did she do that? Did my mum have things going on with her too? One day after school, my sister and I took the bus home. My mum, dad, and brother were all working, so there was no one else with us. To say the least, I was a messy kid. I didn't organise my backpack, so my sister had decided she was going to help me empty it out and sort everything with it, before my parents came home ideally and saw this mess everywhere. As we were sitting on the couch, cleaning up wrinkled pieces of paper, we both got a weird feeling. The room became dark. We slowly turned to look at each other. And then the doorknob to our back door started rattling. Fast, aggressively, turning like someone was trying to force themselves in. I ran to my room and my sister went to my parents' room. We both came to the agreement we should go back and check the door. But we saw nothing. And the chain that was wrapped around the doorknob was still there. We didn't know what to do. So we just turned around to go back into the living room. And then it started again. We both ran out of the front door. My sister ran down the driveway, but for some reason, anger came over me. And I ran around the house to see if I could see if there was anyone at the back. But there was no one. There was no way this could have been a person. Our backyard was large, and there was nowhere to hide. We had neighbours on each side of the house, and there were tall wire gates that separated each neighbour. So we would have caught someone in the act of climbing these gates. I finally met back up with my sister at the end of our driveway. We tried calling our mum, but she didn't answer. So we called our auntie who lives at the end of the street. Her and our uncle came over with a bat just in case. They walked around the whole property, checked the entire house, under the porch, but there was nothing. They even tried flashing the doorknob to see if there was any fingerprints, but nothing. They waited for my mum to come home and then left. But my mum, for some reason, was so mad as to say, "Why did we call our aunt and why were we so dramatic?" Well, this reaction from my mum threw us. Finally, when I was around 15, my mum went to church to find a priest to bless that house. Between all of us, we knew something was off. Things kept happening. But no one ever really spoke about it. My mum dropped me and my sister off at my grandparents', and we didn't see her or my brother for 2 full days. Then my mum came for us. And when we entered that house, my sister said it felt like something lifted. But to me, it felt heavier. I tried to ask what happened, but no one would tell me anything until a year later. I'm 16 at this point and had just come home from a cross-country meet. I'm always tired after these meets, and I went to my brother's room, which was now mine since he'd moved out. My dad told me he was going to take my sister to work before I fell asleep, and I said okay. Then sleep took over. Out of nowhere, in my dream, I heard beeping, loud beeping. And I woke up, then realised it wasn't a dream, it was our smoke alarm. I turned my head and like in a movie, I saw a glow of light just moving. I thought it was weird and I got up to check. I stepped out of my room and there it was, my whole kitchen on fire. I ran to my sister's room calling for her, but she wasn't in there. I then started yelling for my dad, and that's when I remembered and checked my phone that my dad had taken my sister to work, which was a 15-minute drive. Now, as a 16-year-old, I had no idea what to do. I was terrified. I called my mum, my dad, my sister, my brother. No one answered. I ran out into the driveway, looking back at the house. And then I thought to myself, I'm going to let this place burn down because of everything that's happened in there. But then the realization hit me, where would we stay? This was our house. So I ran back in and the fire had grown. It had not reached the sink. In there was only a dirty small bowl. I filled it with water and started throwing it around. When I first did this, the fire spread more, like it was jumping. But I still continued until it was out. And then I went outside, coughing from all the black smoke that I'd inhaled. The reason I'm telling you this is because after this whole incident, my mum brought the priest again. Just because something like this was bad energy, and she wanted that house cleansed from anything bad again. This was when my mum finally said something about all of this. As the priest was cleansing our home, he said there were two spirits. Two males. One small and kinder, and one big and aggressive. The smaller one would hide under mine and my sister's bed, and the aggressive one resided in my brother's room. The aggressive spirit wanted to cause us harm. That was his purpose. He would make the smaller one do things to scare us, turning on the lights, turning off the lights, opening the doors. But the one that was aggressive would mess with our emotions. He wanted to really hurt us. He wanted us to be hurt. Now, with that in mind, what started this fire was my dad had started to warm up some oil to cook. But when he did, my sister told him she was ready for work. He swore he turned it off. He would never leave it on. But as we went back to look at the stove, it was turned high. My mum was so angry at him. She cried and screamed, saying that I could have died. Saying, what if the smoke got to me first and I didn't wake up? This was the first time I saw my dad cry. And he apologised to me. Saying how he really thought he'd turned it off. Now, whether it was him or not, a part of me to this very day has a feeling that something, or him, and by him I mean that dark shadow man, didn't want me to make it out of there alive. This is the time I will start to mention more things, after my mum finally told me about what happened with the priest. Growing up, my brother had the worst aggression ever. He would punch walls, throw things, get physical with my elder sister and I. It once got so bad, he threw me to the wall and I fell unconscious for a few seconds, bloody lip and all. The second he moved out of the house, he was a completely different person. And now, as an adult, he is one of the nicest people you could ever meet. You wouldn't ever imagine him as this person who would be like that. Now you can say, oh, he was just being a teenage boy. But no. when my brother would get into these aggressive modes, it wasn't even him. There was nothing behind his eyes. Also, just thinking about this more aggressive spirit staying in my brother's room, it seems to make sense. I remember this one summer night. Me and my sister got up in the middle of the night just because we both couldn't sleep, and we decided to get some cereal. We got our cereal and then started walking back to our room. But we noticed my brother's door wasn't fully closed. So we peeked in, and my brother was stood there with the TV on. But it was stuck on the grey static screen. We called his name, but he continued to stand there, staring at the TV. We just thought he didn't hear us and laughed, because it was a bit creepy. We went back to our room, but then I had to use the restroom. Before I did, I checked on my brother. The TV was off, and he was in bed snoring. But not even 2 minutes had passed, and he was knocked out. The next morning, we asked our brother why he was just stood there like that. And he said, "What are you talking about?" We started laughing because we thought he was playing with us. But then he got mad because he thought we were playing a prank on him. But my sister and I got serious and explained to him what we saw. But he didn't want to believe us. Now, as I think about it, I think he was scared, but didn't want to admit it. As a trigger warning, the next section does contain sexual assault references. I want to go back to when I mentioned in the beginning with my cousins about the couple who used to live in the house before us. As a kid, I didn't know the full story, but eventually I found out everything. The couple wasn't just a husband and wife, but two kids, a girl and a boy. The story goes that this man would abuse his wife, constantly beating her and sexually assaulting both the little girl and the little boy. Finally, one day, after he'd just fallen asleep from beating her up, she decided enough was enough. And when he was asleep, she got up, grabbed the gun from the closet, put a pillow over his head, and shot him. This may be a little too graphic or uncomfortable to most to hear, but after learning this, I couldn't help but be disgusted and in shock, because I was sexually abused in that house multiple times by multiple people. And in my head, I couldn't help but think, was this his doing? The whole time, was it his influence to cause these certain people to do things to me? I won't say who these people are, because they're no longer in my life. But I just couldn't help putting two and two together. Maybe there was even something there before, which caused this man to do what he did. I'm 21 now, and recently went out with my mum, and I wanted to remember some things about what happened in that house. So we went out to get something to eat, and she opened up further about what took place in that house. She told me she knew something bad was in there from the moment we entered. She would also see a person in her doorway. But it wasn't some shadowy man. It was a little girl, curled in a ball. Things in her room would go flying across the room, and she would get choked in the middle of the night and have a man whisper in her ear,
"Kill him."
This thing would tell her she needed to kill my dad. This thing caused problems between my dad and my mum, and that's why he ended up leaving. She would see shadows following us all the time, and that's why she finally called the priest. All of this shocked me, because my siblings and I would talk as adults about what happened in that house. And what eventually came out was we all realised at some point every single one of us had thought about committing suicide. We all had thought the same thing, that we would be better not here. My brother by hanging, my sister by slitting her wrists, and me by swallowing pills. My mum said she was afraid of that because she too had thought about suicide and was afraid that this thing was going to influence us to actually do it. I also finally decided to write this down because I no longer live there. Everyone has moved out except my sister. She lives there with her two babies and her husband. The house, when you're there with other people, doesn't feel so bad. But alone, it's a completely different story. Recently, I'd gone to pick something up for my sister, and I went into what used to be my old room, the one where the nicest spirit would hide. And as I was walking out, I heard, "Hey," whispered from the room where the aggressive spirit was, and I never felt more terrified. I did end up telling my sister, and she said she didn't want to think about it, because we are strong believers that if you constantly think of something, you will manifest it in the world. Ever since that day, I felt off in my own home. You see, Dad lives with me, my kid, and my husband. But currently, my husband is on deployment, so it's just the three of us right now. And every now and then, I think my dad is here, but no one is here. My baby right now is 6 months old and he loves being on a jumper. One day we were in my room, so I moved his jumper from the living room to my room so I could fold laundry. And out of nowhere, he started crying. I looked at him and he was just staring at the doorway, crying. I went to him quickly to try and comfort him, but he would not take his eyes from the doorway. Then that feeling I once had came back. The feeling I had when I saw the shadow man in my doorway in the old house. And all I could think was, please, not again. There are more things that have happened in that house. I feel I could go on and on, but I feel that would be too much. Unless you want to hear more. But thank you so much for reading about this section of my life. Anonymous. Well, Anonymous, thank you so much for such a traumatic and terrifying experience. My heart goes out for you for what you went through. And I can't believe your sister has the courage to remain in that house after everything that went on. And of course, you sign off your email asking if we, the paranormal community, are interested in more of your paranormal experiences. And I think you know what the answer is going to be. Yes, please. And this goes for anyone listening. If you have a paranormal experience that you want to share with our listeners, email me right now at contact@thedarkparanormal.com. Thanks to us now having minisodes and, of course, the Patreon show Dark Bites. The length of your experience is not relevant at all. It could just be a paragraph. We want to hear it. But a huge thank you, Anonymous, for giving us episode 2 of season 17. For our Patreons, I'll speak to you again on Sunday for our next installment of Dark Bites. And for everyone, I'll speak to you for a mini-show through the week before we hit episode 3. And for those with a finely tuned ear, yes, I do currently have a cold. But I hope that's gone by next time, and I want to thank you all for joining me here on your show. So, until we next speak, remember, whenever you discuss the paranormal, always leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next time, right here, on the Dark Paranormal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.